This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today, I have Helen Ryba with me. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You can come on down, have some lunch. It's rainy out, so, you know, maybe take a little walk with the umbrella and come on down to Midtown Cafe, and you can sit ringside and watch the show. We have a pretty packed show, as we usually do. Pretty soon after the first break, we'll be joined with Chuck Rolichuk of CR's Restaurant. And then at the top of the second hour, we'll be with Linda Ditch. She's changing her day today because we will not have a show this Thursday due to the Red Sox. So Linda from Kansas. And then, of course, later in the second hour, we'll be joined with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. So welcome to Food for Thought. Hi, Helen. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Pretty crazy out there today, weather-wise.
It seems it. I mean, when I came in, it was calm. I got here a little earlier, but it looks, and it's muggy.
Yeah, I heard we have like a 30% chance of a tornado.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Hail after 2, like 4 to 8 is going to be crazy, crazy weather.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to be like in Kansas.
You know, like Linda in Kansas.
Yes.
We'll have to ask her for some advice.
Actually, funny. I lived in Kansas for a couple of years.
Did you really?
When I was a little girl. Yeah, my dad went to the university out there to get his PhD.
Wow.
No tornadoes.
Linda's from Kansas originally, and then she moved to New Hampshire. She wrote for the Hippo Press, and she did a few other publications as well. And then she moved back to Kansas. So.
I got to say, you look fabulous. People can't
Thank
see you.
You,
but you look really great.
Thank you.
So what's your secret?
Feel great. You know, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Integrity for Women. It's a workout place for women. And Rocco is my coach, and he comes in every Monday and does a segment, Healthy Mondays it's called. And he's been helping me along, and then I thrive. That is a new thing that I'm doing. Well, not new. I've been doing it for almost 3 months, and that's going really well.
It makes a world of difference for you?
It makes a major, major world of difference, yes.
And I see you carrying around a gallon of water, too. What's that?
I am doing, Bob back at the station, he was on with us yesterday, and I'm doing my water challenge. Lori was on yesterday from Integrity because Rocco's on vacation, and we were just talking about the importance of water. And how, you know, like June was here, she was my co-host yesterday, and she carries around water with her all the time. But then, you know, Lori was talking, and it's like, you know, even if you carry it around, you got to be drinking it. Are you really drinking it? So she did the challenge of, you know, walking around pretty much with a gallon of water. Started, of course, full in the morning, and just see where you get.
Now, do you drink anything else? You drink diet soda or anything like that?
I don't drink any, you know. I shouldn't say I don't drink any soda at all. Like, you know, once in a while, maybe once a month or something, I'll get a craving for like a Diet Coke. But literally, I might drink half the glass and that'll quench my craving.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
No, it's bad.
No, I drink it and I have to cut it out. Yeah. I tried.
You're drinking diet though.
Yes, diet, but still, they don't even know what that does to you. It's probably, who knows what's doing inside.
It's true. Water.
That's right.
So what have you been up to, Helen?
I've been doing the Chef's Plate television show. Last week, we went down to Massachusetts and visited a couple of restaurants. We went to Turner Seafood in Salem, Massachusetts.
I saw the pictures for that.
Yes, and they have one in Melrose. We had done a show there about a year or so ago. But they are in a historic building called the Lyceum Hall. Hmm. And that's where Alexander Graham Bell did his first phone call there.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So it's got a lot of history.
Pretty cool.
Yes. And it's a beautiful building. They did a great job of renovating it. And they have like a raw bar, and they have, it's like a big horseshoe. You can sit around and watch them shuck the oysters for you. And we tried a lobster roll, and we tried some haddock piccata. And then they made a drink for us called Bloody Mary and the Boys. So it was a nice big Bloody Mary with two big huge shrimp on the side.
Yum.
Yes. So that was a lot of fun. And we also visited another restaurant called the Wild Horse Cafe in Beverly, Massachusetts. And they are like a farm-to-table restaurant. And they use a lot of local food and ingredients. And then he has his big thing in his restaurant. He has a wood-fired grill in his restaurant to grill steaks.
Oh, my goodness.
So that he got the wood going and grilled a steak for us. Oh, my God. So good.
Yum.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Really good. I know. You have, like, the best job because you go around and you eat.
I do. I eat. But I can't eat. I just taste. People think, I put these pictures up. Yeah, they think, how do you eat?
I saw that post the other day when you said that. That was funny.
Yes, I don't eat it all. I try it all because people ask, what's the food like? So I have to try it.
You have to try it. Yeah. You know, forcing you to try it.
Someone has to do it. It's a tough, tough job. Someone has to do it. And then we also, where else do we go? We went to, let me think. Oh, we visited the Common Man on in Hooksett, the new...
On the highway.
The rest area.
Okay. Yes. Northbound or southbound?
We went northbound.
Very good.
Northbound, yes. So they will be on this Saturday show.
Nice.
And we met with Alex Ray and talked to him. And
what a hoot he is. I love him.
He is a hoot. Very nice man.
Very.
He was a little distressed that day because he had dropped his cell phone into his cup of coffee because he was getting ready for do the Bluetooth thing before July 1st when you can't use the phone in the car anymore.
Oh, my gosh. That's
so funny. He's a little upset about that. But anyway, it's great over there, and the food is fantastic. You can't get everything that you get at the Common Man because it's got to be fast.
Of course.
But it's all made to order, and they give you lots of options, and it's really cool in there. It's kind of like Disneyland in a way.
It is. Did you go in that liquor store? How big it is?
I didn't.
Oh, my God. It's huge.
I had to get home, so if I went in there, I'd be there for a while.
I'm telling you, Daryl and I, we just stopped to visit. Well, we might have bought a couple bottles of wine. I don't remember, but... we spent so much time in there. It's almost like a museum when you go in there because it's so big and it's crazy.
Are they the biggest ones in the state?
They have to be. I don't know if that's like a statistic or not, but I'm telling you, it was so big. And then we were looking at, like, at the end of the store, they have all these cases kind of lined up a little bit and they're all locked and it's all expensive stuff. Like, mm-hmm. We were looking at like $10,000 bottles of
scotch,
whatever,
and stuff, yeah.
You know, unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my
gosh. Would you ever
splurge
for something like that?
$10,000? No.
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 What's the most you'd spend on a bottle of a wine?
I mean, I am a wine drinker. I like my Cabernet. I actually like all different kinds, and I will, you know, try different kinds. I don't know.
I think the most I ever spent was like $64, but that was like an extra special occasion that I bought at a store, not in a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's probably what I was going to say 50 75 or so. You know, it's pretty much what I was going to say,
yeah.
You know? I mean, but to go and just buy a bottle of wine and then sit by the fire and drink that, no.
I mean, like thousands of dollars for one bottle. Forget
crazy.
About it.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, how good can it be?
Not that good. So, and another place that's going to be on this week's show is, I don't know if you've been there, it's called Giuseppe's. It's in Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Oh, I love Newburyport.
But this is kind of like a hole in the wall. It's a strip, kind of like a strip mall place, and you wouldn't think anything good was in there, but...
Those are the best places.
They are. And this guy, Giuseppe, is straight from Italy. He makes his own pasta. They just expanded, and they have a bar now. And the food is to die for and very reasonable. Really,
ooh,
really good stuff.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about your show. Why don't you let listeners know where they can listen to it, how they can listen to it, and give the stats.
So the Chef's Plate, A Taste of New England, is seen every Saturday at 3:30 on WBIN, which is Comcast Channel 811. The station's out of Derry, New Hampshire, and it's seen throughout Massachusetts, New Hampshire, parts of Vermont, and a little bit of Maine. And we visit restaurants throughout New England, and usually we have about four restaurants per show, and we just want to show what the restaurants have available, a little bit about the ambiance. We talk with the chefs, the owners, and look at the beautiful food, and it's a great show. I really enjoy it.
Wonderful. I think you do a great job with it. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, and we're gearing up for our next Farm Fresh Chef Challenge, which we had to postpone because of some scheduling issues, but in August we're going to be visiting three local farms. We're going to gather secret ingredients and bring it to three local restaurants that do farm to table, and they'll have 45 minutes or less to create an entree. So it's kind of like Iron Chef Chopper,
but
farm to table style. Yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. We film it in 2 days. Last time we did it was last October. We went like 500 miles in 2 days, and that's the show that I was nominated for an Emmy for.
Right.
Yes. my claim to fame.
Well, are you kidding? That's like the coolest thing ever.
I was pretty excited.
Of course.
I was. I had my mantle all cleared off of the statue. Not really. I didn't.
That's awesome.
No, but it was a lot of fun. It was fun going into Boston to the ceremony and seeing everyone all dressed up. And it was fun. It was pretty cool.
What an experience.
It really was. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
That is way cool.
So what's new with you?
Not too much. Just, you know, doing the show every day and, you know, running the businesses and, you know, nothing much really.
Yeah. I went to the liquor store by your new place just last week. Yeah. And I bought some wine and actually brought a bottle in for us to try.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. We'll do that the second hour.
Yeah, that's local. So
strawberry wine.
Well, it's strawberry picking time. So I figured why not a little strawberry wine.
Do you know Steve Freeman?
Who's he?
Steve Freeman. I'm trying to think of how you would know. Well, he's on the board for the Manchester Food Co-op that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
And he now does a regular bi-weekly segment on Food for Thought. He was on yesterday. What? You have to be introduced to him. He is a major foodie.
Is he?
Knows a lot about food and just enthusiastic and he's infectious. You love to talk to him.
Is he a wine lover?
I'm sure. I
don't know.
I don't know for sure, but I know he's a food lover.
Yes.
And just fun to talk to. So anyway, but today's food holiday, we always talk about the food holiday, is National Pralines Day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm. Not very exciting.
No.
I don't think that's exciting at all.
No, I don't think so either.
And then today's food quote, an egg today is better than a hen tomorrow. Benjamin Franklin said that. Oh, well. Oh, this was kind of cool. This is how many glasses of milk do you think a cow produces in her lifetime?
Oh, boy. 1,000.
You are so off.
1,000,000?
No, a little lower. 350,000.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Really? So now once a cow is like non-milkable anymore, they just send her to pasture? Is that how it works?
Maybe.
They don't eat her or anything, right?
I hope not.
After all that work,
no kidding. They better not. They better just send her to pasture so she can eat.
That's right.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's unbelievable.
350,000.
When they do that thing, like how many slices of pizza do you eat in a year? You don't realize how much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they average it, and then you hear it, and you're like, oh, gosh.
Go around the world 25 times. End-to-end slices of pizza. That's what I ate this year. Oh, I also went this weekend with my husband, my son, and my granddaughter. We went out to Hampton Beach and saw the sandcastles.
Sculptures. Love that.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
How long does it take? It's like days, a week? How long do they do the car?
I think they have it for a week.
A week.
And now they'll be on show for at least another week or two, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know usually we don't go up right away. We'll go up like in a little bit and then still see them.
Well, lucky it was kind of lousy weather on Father's Day and Sunday. So when we went up there, it stopped raining. It was like perfect. We could see everything really great.
Oh,
it was
good.
Really, really a lot of fun. My hair turned to like a big frizz because of the ocean.
Because of the weather.
For the weather. That's okay. Naturally curly.
So, all right.
I was going to say, any new specials over at the Red Arrow Diner? Do you guys add stuff to your menu, or is it pretty much standard, or do you do specials?
Oh, no, we definitely do specials.
Yeah.
We do weekly specials. We do weekly breakfast specials and weekly lunch and dinner specials.
So what's going on this week?
I don't know.
You don't even know? It's always good stuff, though.
You know, we have like a lot of 10 weeks that we rotate. And we do that a couple of times, and then we sit. We always have like another 10 behind that, mm-hmm. 10 weeks. So when we're ready, which we usually do 3 times a year, we'll come up with new, you know, another 10, you know, 10 weeks of new stuff.
Well, I know you were the very first guest that I had on The Chef's Plate when we were back in MCAM, and your chef made us American chop suey.
So funny. I'll never forget that. No. We're not going to talk about
We're
that.
We're not
going to
talk
listeners.
About that. No, but that was the recipe that was made on Diners,
Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yes.
With Guy Fieri.
Yes. And so you made the big, huge pot that you would usually.
We sure did.
Yeah. That's...
And we didn't take any back with us. Remember that?
I didn't either, so I don't know what happened to it.
I don't either. I don't
so
know.
So I think some Ziploc bags
went. Yeah, there was
went...
some kind of Ziploc bags that they went in.
Inside joke.
Listeners, in case you're wondering, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 The Pulse. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. We are going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Helen Ryba is in for Mike today. Mike is, I don't know, he's somewhere sailing. Sailing for 2 weeks.
On the same boat, just out in the ocean, in the middle of the ocean?
They're gone sailing.
Wow.
I know. That's for exciting. 2 weeks, him and Barbara and another couple. So.
Hopefully he doesn't get seasick.
Yeah, I know, really, right? I'm just going to give a little shout-out to some sponsors. Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill over on 2nd Street, authentic Mexican at great prices, and they have great margaritas, too.
I thought
I'd say that. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, they have two locations, Bedford and Londonderry, with another location coming soon in August up in North Conway, integrityfit.com. Balance Furniture, the official decorator for the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company. Casey's Rib Shack, famous Hickory Smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue. They're located right in 2nd Street, and you can also check them out on the web at ribshack.net. Grasshopper's Garden Supply, where the customers come first. They're located on New River Road in New Boston. You can check them out on the web at grasshoppersgardencenter.com. And our newest sponsor, Mama McDonough's Irish Pub. They're over in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side. And you can like them on Facebook. Look for them on Facebook.
So, are they new?
They're a new sponsor.
But are they new to
Food for Thought? They're coming on next week, so I have not met them yet.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'm not quite sure. But let's welcome on our next guest. You're like one person that I've always wanted to meet, like, and be able to converse with and talk. So I'm very excited about this next segment. In studio, we have Chuck Rolachek of CR's Restaurant. So welcome to Food for Thought.
Thank you, Carol. Really nice to be here. And hello, Helen. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
So what has been happening? How is, CR's going?
Well, we don't have the traffic problems Manchester has, let me just say that, because getting to the studio was quite an adventure, and the first 30 miles were fine. It was the last mile and a half.
No kidding.
CR's is going pretty good. I'm glad the winter's over. I know it was a tough winter for everyone, but those of us in hospitality really felt it. And I think without woe is me coming out too much, it was our first winter there. So we weren't even in people's minds, you know.
Right.
As I might have said to Helen when I saw her recently, the fall when we opened last October, we opened last Columbus Day. And we had a great October, November, December, but most of it was because of my fans and friends and followers from the Manchester area with CR Sparks and the Chop House. And so I think a lot of the locals didn't even get in October, November, December. So when the snows came in January and February, they just didn't think of us, or they didn't go out. And
Wasn't in their mind.
It just, no. I mean, I hadn't been in the business 25 years and hadn't had nights where three people came in, seven people came in. We had more employees. Talk about service, one-on-one service. This cook will cook for you. This bartender is making just your drink. But we survived. I think 20 years of being in the business makes you put away a few acorns before the winter. So we got through.
And you're definitely making up for it now.
We are. Although they say the best is yet to come, it was a very good May, pretty good June. A lot of graduation parties, a lot of First Communion celebrations, and the folks, we're getting a really good mix of New Hampshire people, Mass people, Maine people, and locals.
Nice.
So, I check those parking lots and look at the license plates all the time to just kind of gauge it, and we're in a great location in that respect.
Now, you've been in the restaurant business for many years. Can you tell me your story, how you got into the restaurant business?
By default, Carol, it's really, I think it's fairly well known that, I really cut my teeth in the airline industry. I went to hotel and restaurant school at the University of Denver, and immediately when I got out, I got to join United Airlines in their in-flight division. And over a 10-year career with United, I did everything from develop menus, to run kitchens, to train flight attendants, and decide how many salt and pepper shakers we need for the whole system, which was about 800,000, I think, at the time. It was a pretty interesting 10-year career.
And that's when you could get a really great meal on an airplane.
It's true.
Not
you
just
really
like
could.
A bag of nuts.
You can't even really get anything on the airplane anymore. You have to... I mean, you're lucky if you get a thing of peanuts.
Absolutely. And, you know, 9/11 changed everything. What really changed was the level of security of getting the food on the plane is so much more intense now. And just with all the extra fees and insurance and air marshals that they pay for, you know, I have enough friends in the industry still that you can't believe how many air marshals are on the flights with loaded guns.
Wow.
That are totally incognito. And but to keep everything, it's reason everything's been pretty safe for, you know, 14 years or so.
Right.
But that was a really great way to cut your teeth because everything was such on a large scale. And what I learned in those days, you know, I came up at one time where I decided to take the cherry tomatoes off of the salads. And why did I do that? Well, I did this thing called garbology. I created a term that meant I went to the kitchens of the largest cities and I stood where all the units that came off the planes on the trucks in there and they were getting cleaned. So it's the study of garbage. And you analyze what people eat and don't eat to help you decide on where you go from here. And what I realized was that nobody was eating the cherry tomatoes.
I love cherry tomatoes.
And then give me yours.
That led to butter pats. That led to salt and pepper shakers. That led to extra rolls. And we just all of a sudden, I said, why put them on if we're throwing them all away? And it was a great lesson that today, on a busy Saturday night, I'll go to the dish area at times and say, how come that came back? How come are they taking that to go?
I do the same thing.
Because it's either, if it's being thrown away, they either didn't like it or it's too big a portion.
Yep.
And sometimes if they say, oh, no, they're bringing it home. And I think if you're like me, as you get to a certain age, you just can't eat as much as you used to. And it's a pretty good snack the next day. But the study of garbage just gives you a sense, you know,
garbology.
A clean plate, garbology. And
I love it. It
put me on the map. It made me a bit of a star in the industry because I had saved the company so much money.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
How much did you save by taking the tomatoes off?
$800,000 in 1985 dollars.
Wow.
So in 1985, we saved $800,000 by doing that. And, you know, we did other things.
Holy
butter pats.
Holy. Almost $1 million.
That's amazing.
Yes.
It really
that
is.
So, you know, working with those, and it taught me, you know, I worked with a union in that operation. So you learned how to treat people with, you know, working with a union in black and white gives you a sense of fairness. When you don't work with a union, you tend to manage in black and white. And I think you treat people a little fairer because you always have that, I've got to be on or I'm going to get caught or I'm going to have to pay a fine or do something, pay somebody for hours not worked. So I actually think that was one of the best things that happened to me, too, that the union framework makes me treat my employees like they're in a union in the best part of that.
Right. Exactly.
And it was, you know, I don't know if the listeners are interested in hearing, it was really a fluke thing. So I'm flying out of a Manchester airport. My wife and I are going on a vacation around Thanksgiving, and the pilot comes out and says, Chuck, we don't have any food on the plane. And he knew me because you get identified as company employees and just sitting in first class, just about to drink the champagne. And he says, Chuck, I see you're in food service. Can you help me? And I said, well, my operation's in Boston. Here we're flying out of Manchester. It's 7:30 in the morning. He says, caterer overslept. I got 150 full house in the back. What can you do? So I told my wife, I said, let's go. She goes, where are we going? And those were the days at the Manchester airport where, you know, the cars were parked out in front. And we went to our car and we drove to Brown Avenue. And I went to Dunkin' Donuts and bought 150 donuts and wiped them out. I went to Cumberland Farms and bought coffee and paper towels and napkins and sugars, creamers, and juice. And we drove the car back on the airport. Took everything up the stairs,
oh,
put everything in there,
gosh.
And everybody had breakfast on the way to Chicago.
Wow.
You saved the day.
I saved the day. So I get to Chicago, call the boss at home on Thanksgiving, not too happy, but I said, I think you need to know what happened this morning out of Manchester. He goes, what are you doing out of in Manchester? He goes, you work in Boston. I said, well, I live in New Hampshire. And it was an easier flight. And I told him, and he said, when you get back from your little weekend, you're going to find me a caterer. And we're going to change caterers in Manchester, and we're gonna put this to end. So he gave me the task of finding a caterer, and I scoured the neighborhoods, tried to find, you know, the executive health club was an option, a hospital was an option, small restaurants were an option. No one wanted to do it. So after 3 months, I said, I haven't found any. Just keep looking. And it was my wife who had the brilliant idea that said, why don't you do it? And I said, why don't I do it? She goes, yeah, you always wanted to start a restaurant. And I said, every time I said
crazy
that, you said
person.
That was a bad idea. She goes, well, this is something you know, and this isn't the restaurant business. Why don't you do one? And within a couple of months, I had a location, and I had a game plan, and I went from company employee to supplier, really. And
was that the start of CR Sparks?
That was the beginning of Premier Catering.
Okay.
At the Manchester Airport in Londonderry
okay.
in 1987 with 5 employees.
87, that's when I bought the Red Arrow.
Okay, so that's what I mean.
Wow.
And it was interesting. You know, I remember going for a loan for that business, and it was so easy to get money then. You know, the banks were lending so much money. I went in, and the guy goes, how much do you need? $200,000, $300,000? No problem. Come back in a week. And I came back in a week, and he goes, no, I don't want you to go to Mexico with this. I said, oh, no.
I said,
I won't do that. I said, I can't do that. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I've already quit my job. And he goes, you quit your job. He said, why would you quit your job without getting the money in the loan? I said, because this was going to work, and I knew this was a great idea, and I wanted you to know how bad I wanted this. So,
wow.
And somebody, you know, that paid big dividends, too, because it kind of just set the tone that you got nothing to worry about. And, you know, at the time, Manchester Airport was just starting to grow and just starting to, you know, spread its wings, no pun intended. Yeah. And, you know, in a very short time, I had probably 30 employees and a 20-hour-a-day operation, and United and U.S. Air and Continental and Delta, we did all the food. And it was really, and you know, that morphed into me owning one flight up, which was the restaurant at the Manchester Airport. I didn't want any competition, so I said, I better buy that guy out. And that was really my first restaurant. So I was able to practice on a very small scale where the expectations weren't very high. And, you know, I learned the hard way a few times, many times, I should say. But that was really the foray into the restaurant business.
I just love that. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my goodness. We are in studio with Chuck Rolichek. Right now, he's the owner of CR's, the restaurant over in Hampton. We're going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about CR's, the restaurant. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Helen Reiba.
Hello.
Of the Chef's Plate. And we are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester, listening to The Pulse 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. You can also like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike or our website, foodforthoughtnh.com. And we are in studio talking with Chuck Rolichek of CR's, the restaurant. And I asked him how he started in the restaurant business, and that was just an amazing story. I just love that. Pretty much after the, you know, after 911, then came CR Sparks.
That's correct. Actually, when I was still in the airline catering, Carol, again, the bankers, you love them or you hate them, but I remember certainly one of them said, you're a little too much into the airport airline industry. You know, you have 5 catering operations across the country. You've got a couple of airport restaurants. You got to diversify. And what was happening was Manchester was growing so much that I needed to grow out of my Londonderry kitchen. And I always felt that the Londonderry kitchen doing the airline food was not fully utilized. So we worked from 4 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, and then everything pretty much shut down until 4 in the morning the next day. And I said, there's got to be a way, maybe we could do functions, maybe we could do catering. So what I really wanted to do was have a function hall. And I thought that, boy, you'd do the morning, you'd do all your airline food, big kitchen, and you'd do banquets, functions, meeting rooms, and things like that. So that was the original plan. Then you get a consultant involved, and he goes, that's a bad idea. And I said, what do you mean that's a bad idea? He goes, who's going to want to have their wedding done by you if you they think you're doing airline food?
I said, true.
All right.
That's true.
Right? So yeah. Legit. So I said, all right, what do I do? He says, you build a restaurant to get a reputation there, and then your function catering banquet business will grow. Bing, light bulb goes on. Here we are back talking about restaurants. So the only way I could make it work was, the only way I could borrow enough money to do that was, I told the bankers, all right, I'll put the catering in the business, I'll put the restaurant in the business, in the building, and I'll put the function business in the building. And voila, that's what happened with Kilton Road and CR Sparks and the event center. So CR Sparks was the restaurant, the catering operation was in the middle of the building, and the banquet facility was in the back of the building. So really and truly, we used the catering kitchen 4 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon for the airline business, and then we did functions in the evenings. You don't have too many functions in the morning, a few breakfast events and things like that. And by having 3 revenue sources, the banker said, okay, we'll buy into that because we're going to give you the loan based on one of them making it. Right. If 2 makes it, you're golden. And if 3, you're really, you had a home run. And for a period of time, we had a lot going on over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you did.
It was
what
almost
a beautiful
20
building,
hours.
Too.
Thank you. And you know, it was an old Butler building, but which was like an old, it was the original Home Depot back called Diamond Lumber. And what I liked about it was the parking. You know, parking's such a sore subject with people going out to dinner. And I think that was the best thing I had going for me there. And one of the reasons why I picked the location I did with CRs because the parking is good. So that turned out, you know, it turned out, I kind of used to say it was a 3-ring circus is what it was, you know, but all 3. And there were times when one was busy and the other 2 weren't, but the idea of using, you know, I had 2 dish machines because I didn't want United Airlines silverware in the CR Spock dining room.
Of course.
I didn't want my nice forks and knives going on a flight to Chicago. I mean, that's, you know, you don't want to spend money for that. But there were some economies of scale with manpower and with the employees. And it was a busy operation. So.
It definitely was. I mean, you know, and with restaurants, you know, catering kind of almost goes hand in hand. I mean, you see a lot of restaurants that do catering on the side because it goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You had like the best of 3 worlds, having all 3 of them there and really thriving at a point.
You know, that I think today people always tell me they miss CR Sparks.
You hear that all the time.
And I'm flattered and grateful.
I hear it all the time.
I do too.
But yeah. I really hear from the meeting planners that nobody has filled the void. You know, a lot of restaurants, Copper Door and you know, Technique and a lot of those now Cano have all filled that Bedford void. But no one filled that high-end catering operation, you know, and we did all the hospital galas. We did all the benefits and the charitable organizations when they had their big events, not to mention, you know, 300-person weddings and things like that. So, but, you know, that's a tough business, too, because, you know, the father of the bride wants the owner there that night. And the father, you know, and the president of the hospital wants you there that night. And when there's 400 people, you got to do what you got to
do. Yeah, you do. So. You do. Oh, my goodness. Listeners, I promise we're going to get to CR's restaurant. We're going to keep Chuck on longer. We're going to end the first hour. We're going to start the second hour with Linda Thompson over in Kansas. And then after that, we're going to chat all about CR's restaurant, I promise. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.